hello again, and a warm welcome to you. This is Countdown to Eternity with Pastors James Cadiz and Tom Hughes. Today, James and Tom will answer the critical question, who does Israel really belong to? Believe it or not, there are several answers to this question, and they all work together in a way that explains so much of what's happening in the region.
Well, hello, my dear brothers and sisters. We want to welcome you to another episode of Countdown to Eternity. And you might notice something. You might notice that my voice is almost gone, but we're still here. I am with Tom Hughes. I am super blessed to be here with you, bro. We have quite the subject today. And the question starts like this. Who does Israel belong to?
That's a good question.
Listen, we have to answer that question on a lot of levels. It's not just one. I know that when people hear that question, the instant thing that they think about is the land, right? And I guess that's a big portion of our discussion here, but we have to start a lot more intuitively to look at this with a much more significant bent. So let me ask you that question, bro. How about we start off with that? Who does Israel belong to?
Well, it belongs to God. And then from there, and you do have to understand, in order to understand this, you have to understand the spiritual side of this whole dynamic. And the problem that's taking place right now is everybody's looking at the geopolitical side. I don't care if it's people on the right or people on the left. Yeah. So then they get all their arguments, you know, why give money to Israel? We need to give money to Israel, all this different stuff, right? But it belongs to God, and God is the one who's determined everything belongs to the Lord. What happened was God decided that God had to choose a people for the Messiah to come from. And who did he choose? He calls Abram. Well, in this whole plan of God to bring about the Messiah, guess what? He had to choose a people, so it's Abraham. And then it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's very clear. It's the sons of promise. So he chooses a people for the Messiah to come from. Well, guess what? It has to be a people, and they also have to have a land. He chose the land for them. He even chose the city for them, which is Jerusalem. So all of this goes back to the spiritual dynamic that God has chosen a people for the Messiah to come from. He could have chosen anybody else. He had to choose a people, though. Hence, that's why we read in the Bible that Israel is God's chosen people. And he had to choose a land for them to live in. He chose the whole thing. And in fact, James, I know you know this. I think it's 152 times in the King James Bible, God says, Zion is mine. Yes. And in conjunction with God saying Zion is mine, it's King James. In fact, when you look in other translations, you find it even more. But it's repeatedly about Zion, and Zion is for the Messiah to come back to. Zion is for his people. Very clearly, he is talking about it is for the Jews. And God doesn't make a decision and make a promise and then say, no, that promise is not valid anymore. And this is the dynamic that we are having within churches now with pastors and people all over the world saying, God has abandoned Israel. No, God did not abandon Israel. He chose a people, he chose a geographical location, and he chose a people for the Messiah and a place for the Messiah to come from.
So this is really interesting. So we're starting with the God conversation. I think this is really good because it starts there. And I'm going to have you, unfortunately, because my voice is, I'm going to have you do a majority of the talking here because what you're saying is really important, right? And I know, we know this, me and you have had multiple conversations about this issue. This has been a discussion that we have had on virtually every level. But I want to go back to something you said, because God made it really clear that he wanted Israel to be the peculiar nation, right? And we know that. We see this early on in the Old Testament. We know that God had a plan and a purpose. But here's the question, because this is really interesting. Okay. A lot of people in the church right now are actually saying that Israel is not valid. I don't even want to get into the lies that relate to the accusations of genocidal behavior and so on and so forth. I just want to deal with the idea of God's relationship with Israel being completely negated, because that's something that's being said. I mean, a lot of people are saying that no, Israel has pretty much closed the door. They've burned every opportunity they have to be able to do anything. They're done. So what do you say to that? I think that this is like a really important question for us to be asking, like, because right now, a lot of people talk about how Christ was forsaken, how he was crucified. And, you know, there's all kinds of things that are being said.
Right.
Israel right now is a predominantly secular nation. There's a lot of ungodliness happening right now in downtown Tel Aviv. You know, there's a lot of that being said. So it's like, well, they're not God's chosen people anymore. So what do you say to that?
I say, well, what does the Bible say? Do I believe what God says? And I'll give, I'd like to use both the New Testament and the Old Testament. And the first one, James, I know you know these passages well. This is from the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 33.
My favorite, one of my favorites.
Yeah, where God says this, have you noticed what people are saying? The Lord chose Judah and Israel and then abandoned them. They are sneering and saying that Israel is not worthy to be counted as a nation. And that's exactly what we are hearing. But then as you continue to read that, again, this is, you can read these almost the identical thing, chapter 31 of Jeremiah and chapter 33. It continues and says this, but this is what the Lord says. I would no more reject my people than I would change my laws that govern night and day, earth and sky. I will never abandon the descendants of Jacob or David, my servant, or change the plan that David's descendants will rule the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Instead, I will restore them to their land, and I will have mercy on them. So the first thing, James, I'd like to say about this, this is God's mercy. And so what is happening within the church? They are saying God's grace is not for the Jew. Look at what they have done. God's mercy isn't for the Jew. Well, God says, wait a minute, you've said God is done with Israel. He's abandoned them. They're an awful people. So you as a pastor, for example, not you and me, but you know, the ones who are saying this.
Yes.
We're preaching then that God's grace isn't good for the Jew. God's mercy isn't for the Jew. I believe, James, in a very interesting way, Israel and the Jew is being held up against the church.
100%.
What are you going to do with my people? I say they're not your people, Lord. Oh, you do say that? Well, wait a minute. I say they're my people. You as a pastor are telling me they're not my people? Wait a minute. Well, the book of Jeremiah says, I will never abandon my people. And we also know Ezekiel is very clear. Ezekiel 36.
Oh, yeah.
God says, hey, everywhere I scattered you, you profaned my name. Deuteronomy 28. When I scatter you, you will become a byword, anti-Semitism. Okay, that happened. Exactly as God said. God said in Ezekiel 36 it would happen, and it has happened. His name's been profaned. Yeah, we can look at Karl Marx. We can look at Freud, the crazy psychologists. I mean, we can look at so many other things that have come to this world where wickedness has come in. We forget there's also Gentiles that do this kind of stuff too. For some reason, the church cannot remember any wicked Gentiles. They can only remember certain bad Jews. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just going to ask you the New Testament, because you said you wanted to talk out of the New Testament as well. So I assume you're going to go to Romans.
I'm going to get there. Can I get to Ezekiel? Finish Ezekiel 36?
Yeah, please, please. Okay.
Absolutely. So in Ezekiel 36, God says, everywhere I scattered you, you profaned my name. Then he says this, however, I will fulfill my word. I will bring you back into the land. Why? He says, because of my name, which you profaned. He says, you profaned it, but because of my name. Guess what? How many Christians have profaned the name of the Lord? Even after got saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. But again, you won't hear that from the pulpit. You won't hear that from the churches. In America, it's predominantly gone anti-Israel. So Israel, I believe, is a test for the Christian right now to say, wait a minute, God himself says, I won't abandon them. I have a covenant with them. Listen, if we can't trust God's covenant with Israel, how can we trust God to keep any covenant he makes?
Okay. Oh, 100%.
So this Old Testament, in fact, we could work that out a lot more from the scriptures if we got time. You go over to the New Testament, Romans chapter 11. What does God say? He says, do not be ignorant of this mystery, brethren, lest you be puffed up in your own mind.
Yeah.
Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come. Okay. Ignorant of the mystery. What's the mystery? Blindness on part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles has come, and then all Israel will be saved. God says it's a mystery. But the problem is, when you think, I don't have a covenant with Israel, you are puffed up in your own mind. You think you have matured, and the people like Tom and James haven't figured it out yet. We're not mature enough to understand. God specifically attacks that line of thinking and says, if you think that God is done with Israel, you are puffed up in your own mind. You think you are smarter. You think you've attained something spiritual in knowledge that other people who think Jesus is coming again, other people think Jews have a right to the land because God gave it to them, other people who think Israel is still going to be there, other people who think God made a covenant with Israel, he's not going to abandon. You guys are smarter than them. That's a problem scripture. I was talking with a young lady, brilliant, really smart attorney. I'd done an interview with her, and she was Palestinian, in, she would say, by her bloodline. That's what she would say. Her parents, grandparents live in that area of the West Bank.
So right? She's probably an Egyptian, a Syrian, a Jordanian, or, yeah, okay.
Yeah, you know the whole Jordanian, whatever it is. You know exactly what it is.
She's either an Egyptian or an Arab. It's one or the other.
Right. It's one or the other, but, you know, she calls herself a Palestinian. But she's, I believe she's a Christian. You know, I mean, I've had great conversations with her. And so she's married to an American man, goes to a Presbyterian church. So right then we go, oh, we know where that's going. So I said, okay, let me ask you this. I said, it was really interesting conversation. This is pre-October 7th. And I said, do you think the Jews have the right to the land? She goes, well, I have a problem with it. And I said, but she started asking me questions. And I said, it's a great question. I said, this is what Romans chapter 11 says. And she said this to me. She goes, you want to know something? That is a passage I asked my husband about, and he couldn't answer it. And the church I go to can't answer that passage. She goes, it's in my head. It bothers me, because we know how that passage starts out in the beginning, the whole talk. Is God done with his people? Certainly not, says the Apostle Paul. God is not done with his people, Israel. So you look at that, and there's most people in the replacement theology group say, well, you're just quoting from the Old Testament when you quote Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and so forth. And then that was done when Jesus came. It was all over. He had been betrayed by the Jews. They turned him over to the Romans. He was crucified. They said, let his blood be on our hands and on our children. Therefore, it's all over. That's the replacement theology argument. And they say, you don't find Israel in the New Testament. And then they'll make the argument of, like Paul says, not all Israel is Israel. And they twist that from, was it Romans chapter 9, I think it is, right? They twist that and say, see, we're the real Israel, the Gentile believers in Christ. So, but they can't admit the passages in the New Testament say what they say. Although this young lady who identifies as a Palestinian Christian says Romans chapter 11 is something that's in her head, because that is what the Bible actually says. And Paul the apostle is not sticking up, not teaching replacement theology. She knows that, because Paul's the one they always hold up.
Yeah, you know, that's right.
You got to take Paul's words out of context to teach something like that. But she could see it. She could see the actual truth of what is even said in the New Testament. And it's not just that passage. We can go to Matthew chapter 23, the words of Jesus. We can go to Acts chapter 1, the words of Jesus. I mean, you can start looking, not to mention many other passages that we have in the New Testament. But clearly, you take Jeremiah 31 and 33, Romans chapter 11, they're like sister passages.
100%. 100%. Okay, so let me run this your way, okay? Because keeping all of this in mind, then what do you say to somebody who says these people are colonizers? You know what I mean? These Jews are colonizers, and this really belongs to the Palestinians. And what do you say to that?
Well, it's absurd. So what is it? So let's walk through history. What is a Palestinian? And James, if I get into this too much, just stop me.
No. Let's do this. Okay.
So before Israel, what? There was a British mandate, not a Palestinian state. Mm-hmm. Before the British mandate, there's the Ottoman Empire, not a Palestinian state. Before the Ottoman Empire, you have the Islamic State, not of Egypt, not a Palestinian state. I mean, you start walking right on through the history. Then you have the Arab Kurdish Empire, not a Palestinian state. After that, you have the Christian kingdom, the Frankish and Christian kingdom of Jerusalem, not a Palestinian state. So you follow the history of the actual land. You go all the way back to the time of Christ. There was not a Palestinian state. You go back before Christ. What do you have? You have, well, during the time of Christ, what do you have? You have the Romans. What do you have before that? You have the Seleucid Empire after Alexander the Great, then Alexander the Great. I mean, you keep following this all the way back. You go back to the time of the Babylonians when they conquered Jerusalem. What was there before? You have David, you have Solomon, you have the time of the kings. You have God gave them the land. David even purchased the area of Mount Moriah from Araunah the Jebusite. He purchased it. Legally, he purchased it. I mean, that's like a title deed, you know? But there is no such thing as a Palestinian state. And one of the most frustrating things to me is in the back of almost every Bible, it'll have a map. And one of the maps says,
oh, yeah,
Palestine in the time of Christ, when that term, the name Palestine, wasn't even invented till 100 years after Jesus was crucified. There was no such thing as Palestine in the time of Christ. You had Israel and then Judea and Samaria. Where did that come from? It came from Hadrian, which I think your viewers and listeners already know all of the history on that. But there is no Palestinian state. James, I've been to Israel, I don't know how many times, dozens of times, right? You too. So you go there, I see, you go to the museums, you go to the stores. Guess what kind of coins and artifacts you see and you can buy in some cases, if they're not too old. You can buy Roman things, you'll see Greek things, you'll see Egyptian things, you'll see a whole lot of Jewish things. You will not see one Palestinian coin, you won't see anything. And the Palestinian flag, what was it? You probably know the date of it. I think it was 1946, 1948, something like that. It had the Star of David on it.
That's right.
I think, wasn't it Yasser Arafat who invented the current Palestinian flag?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it used to have the Star of David on. You're like, so you look at these things and you go, this is just truly amazing. But when you go into the colleges, and what do you have? People, James, and the reason why this has been, these lies are so readily received within the schools right now is because this started a while back to cause people in schools to not be able to be critical thinkers. That's what government school system has done. So people can't think critically. They just believe whatever they're told. And you have these radical Islamists that come into the schools and teach the kids. And the kids think Hamas is wonderful. And they say death to Israel. So we have so many of these different dynamics that are taking place.
Yeah, and this is, again, this whole thing is just absolutely obscene. I'm going to show you a video that I think is really entertaining. Part of it is a bit graphic in the sense that the person you're going to see at the beginning of this video is, for obvious reasons, not very pleasant. But I do like what this Jewish man does with this. He is clearly a young man who is a soldier in the IDF. And how he responds to this, in my opinion, is just absolutely brilliant. So I'm going to show this to you really quickly, okay? Let me show this to you real quick.
Let's check it out.
Free Palestine, land back, that's it.
How come it's always land back and decolonization until it comes to Jews? The reestablishment of the modern state of Israel is quite literally the most successful example of decolonization in history. The Jewish people, also known as the Nation of Israel, are the indigenous people of this land. This land is where we come from Israel and Judah, two of five different Canaanite kingdoms that existed in this land. The Jewish people are the only Canaanite nation that survived. We have maintained the indigenous language of this land, Hebrew, for thousands of years. We managed to revive it as a spoken language after it was almost eradicated by colonization. Everywhere you go in this land, you find Jewish artifacts, from mosaics to lamps, coins with Hebrew writings. For the Romans renamed it Palestine as an act of colonialism. We lived here. The Dome of the Rock, which was built by the Arabs when they conquered this land, was built on top of the Jewish temple. We have Palestinian villages that are built on Jewish burial sites. Cream land back all you want, but keep the same energy for Jews.
So that's an amazing video. I think the guy is just brilliant, and his arguments are great.
That was great. I mean, I look, that's fantastic. In fact, James, I will even say that is one of the best, most simple and straightforward answers I've ever heard to the nonsense of colonialization, give back the land. I mean, it's straightforward.
Oh, yeah.
So simple to understand in such a short time frame. I thought it was brilliant. Just absolutely brilliant. In fact, that's something worth memorizing, everybody, and understanding, even looking at the maps that he shared. Those are the maps we need to see. And that was outstanding.
100%. 100%. This, by the way, is the ambassador to the United Nations representing Israel. Now, I love him, by the way. I think he's very articulate. I think he's remarkably well-spoken. And I think every time he brings an argument to the table, he's just brilliant. And here, he's speaking to the UN Security Council. Let me show this to you really quickly.
This picture tells you everything you need to know about this conflict. This is Haj Amin al-Husseini, the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, and one of the founding fathers of Palestinian nationalism. Al-Husseini dedicated his life to ensuring that there would be no Jewish presence in Israel or in any Arab land. And it was the Mufti's ideology which sparked the expulsion of Jews from Arab countries and Iran. A century ago, council members, over 1 million Jews lived in Arab countries. 1 million Jews, yet today, there are only a couple thousands. Where did all the Jews disappear to? The Jews of Lebanon, the Jews of Syria, Yemen, Iraq, and Iran? They were expelled. So enough with the hypocrisy.
I mean, it's just there. It's so obvious, and it's in front of us. And it's, I'm telling you, bro, the wickedness that we're seeing right now is crazy. I do want to say this, because I know we've been talking about a lot of different issues. I have to contend this. It's a spiritual thing, bro. I mean, it really is. The enemy has blinders on these people who are being motivated by satanically inspired hate. And we have got to be open and straightforward and honest about what's happening and share these facts, because what's happening, bro, is just wicked. And it's breaking my heart. Like, I'm even seeing the things that are happening on these college campuses. It's just absolutely crazy. It's just nuts.
Yeah. It's nuts. Absolutely. I think of this, and I'd like to use this illustration. It's when Solomon is the cut the baby in half, right?
Yeah.
So what happens? You have the two moms, or two so-called moms. They come to Solomon, this is my baby. The other one says, this is my baby. Solomon's trying to figure out, okay, how do I make a decision? I know what I'll do. The real mom will love her baby, and the other mom won't. So he says, bring the baby to me. Bring me a sword. Let's cut the baby in half. We'll give one half of the baby to you, the other half of the baby to the other. Let's cut the baby in half. The one lady says, oh, that's a wonderful idea. Cut the baby in half. Kill the baby. The other mom, the real mom, says, no, 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 don't do that. Solomon says, here's your baby. He knew
right away
who the real mom was based on that. So what's happening right now? All these people are saying the Jews have no right to the land. Get them out of there. They're saying, hey, no, we love this land. God has given us this land. They're doing the archaeology. They're pouring everything into it, saving their own land. And what is the rest of the world saying? Let's cut the baby in half, kill it. This is one of the ways that we know that the whole thing is a lie. You just apply Solomon's approach about cutting the baby in half. And other people are saying, well, you know, what are you going to do with the land once you eliminate all the Jews from it? We don't care. We just don't want them there. That is proof alone that the whole thing is a lie.
Yeah, 100%, bro. I would agree with you wholeheartedly. And that is the world that we're living in right now. That's the situation we're in. We are out of time. This has been a great conversation, Tommy. I'm blessed that you could carry most of it, because my voice is gone. Listen, folks, we do hope sincerely that you enjoyed watching this or listening to it as much as we've enjoyed making it. We love you. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Countdown to Eternity. On behalf of one of the great ones, Tom Hughes, this is James Cadiz. We love you guys so much. Keep fighting the good fight, because Jesus is coming soon. God bless you.
You're listening to Countdown to Eternity with Pastors James Cadiz and Tom Hughes. Look for us online at countdowntoeternity.com. You can replay this episode at countdown2eternity.com or listen wherever you get your podcasts. We're also at oneplace.com. I should also mention Pastor Tom's website. You'll find it at hopeforourtimes.com. Pastor James is on social media. He examines current events and connects what's going on in our world to Bible Prophecy. Look for James Cadiz on YouTube, Rumble, and Instagram. Or just go to jamescadiz.com and start watching these videos today. Countdown to Eternity is listener-supported, and if the Lord is leading you to support what we're doing, a good place to go is countdowntoeternity.com. There you can make a secure one-time or ongoing donation to the ministry. Again, countdown the number two, eternity.com. Have a question relating to Bible prophecy or want some prayer? Send that to us in the form of an email at countdown the number two, eternity.com. Then join us next week as we continue the Countdown to Eternity. Countdown to Eternity is brought to you by Calvary Chapel, Signal Hill, and made possible through the support of our listeners.